Welcome to On the Line with the AMA, the official podcast of the American Motorcyclist Association. I'm Alexandra Terhorst. Our guests today are professional flat trackers Corey Texter and Shayna Texter-Bauman. The brother-sister duo from Willow Street, Pennsylvania, are fixtures on the American flat track circuit. Corey was the 2019 AFT Production Twins champion and last year finished runner-up in the series. In 2011, Shayna was the first female to win an American flat track main event, and today she ranks as the winningest rider in AFT singles history. They took time from their busy preseason training schedule to tell us their remarkable story of challenge and success.
Corey and I, we come from multi-generation of motorcycle racers. Our grandfather started out racing a little bit and turned over to wrenching for a guy named Bill Miller and started a Harley-Davidson shop. So that kind of where his focus changed. And my dad, Randy, came along and he got into professional road racing and flat track once he turned 16. We kind of had a unique upbringing. I actually played soccer from the time I was 4 years old until I was a freshman in high school and turned pro flat track. I actually didn't start racing flat track until I was around 13 years old. Most kids actually start racing flat track when they're 4 years old. But for Corey and I, my dad actually was busy racing. So we were just there kind of watching, hanging out. And eventually Corey decided to give it a shot in 2003. And about halfway through the year, I was like, man, I want to try that. And here we are.
Basically just grew up in a Harley shop. So just a Harley kid and being around motorcycles. We rode bikes in the backyard. I had an XR100 that I ripped around on here and there, but I might only rode, man, I probably rode a couple times per summer. Like I was in the other sports. I was soccer player, played ice hockey, ran track, wrestled, anything stick and ball. I pretty much enjoyed and I played. So I didn't really get to race too much. I might've did a couple races on a 50, but I was pretty slow to be honest. And then the new Honda 450 came out in 2002 and Nicky Hayden rode that thing and did really well on it. My dad thought the bike was really cool and he got me a Honda 450. I think I was 15, I want to say, and started racing. It started off kind of fun, just going to a couple local races. And then you know how that goes. You get sucked in. You do good at your local track. You win. Then you go to like the regional and you do good there. Everyone's like, oh, you should go to amateur nationals and see what you can do. And you go there and you just get sucked in. And before I knew it, we started racing a little bit in 2003, picked it up more in 2004. And by 2 years later in 2006, I was a pro sport. I was racing the pro stuff. So my dad poured a lot into it, a lot of bikes and money and traveling. And we didn't just kind of dip into it. We jumped into the deep end and just went after it. But yeah, growing up, like the younger years, just going to Harley meetings and talking to Willie G, Davidson and Nancy and seeing them at the races still, you know, I went up, I think last year to introduce myself to them. And before I could even get a word out, they said, hey, Corey, how you doing? I was like blown away. So we are definitely Harley kids and grew up in a Harley shop. And those memories were always really, really cool for us.
Yeah, we were those kids that our dad allowed to ride bicycles around the showroom at the Harley shop, around a couple $1,000 Harleys and around the customers and everything like that. So we were definitely just kids and fans of the sport until a little bit later in our life.
I don't know. We weren't that close really growing up. I think we were just far enough in age to where we weren't really similar in our interests and things like that. I mean, we got along fine, but we didn't like want to hang out with each other or anything like that. And it really didn't get to the point where we were like as close as we are now until my dad passed away, probably in 2010. We kind of just got closer and now she's one of my best friends and we talk quite a bit. So as far as the talent level, I don't really know, I guess. She was always good on the bike, but I think the 1 year she jumped on, I think she rode like an 85, a 125, a 250, and a 450 all in one day, and she won every single race. So at that point, it was like, man, she's pretty quick. And then, yeah, we got to race each other a little bit at like the local level and the expert classes. And remember the first time she beat me was on like a 100, and I was pissed. I was so bummed. I was so annoyed she beat me. And then it started to be an occurring thing. She beat me quite a bit, and I got to race the singles class a few years ago, and she laid it to me pretty good. So, yeah, she's super talented. Usually, people like to give me crap about my little sister beating me, and I like to say, like, you know, she beats me, she beats you too. I mean, she's beaten everybody at one point or another, so it's not really, for me, she's just another competitor, and as a rider, I think she's amazing. I got a lot of respect for her. She's super naturally talented. And as a fan of the sport, I really like watching Shayna ride a motorcycle. She's got a lot of talent and can do a lot of things that other guys can't do.
Growing up, my main focus was soccer. I wanted to be the next Mia Hamm, to be honest. Like, I was so into soccer, and that was kind of my thing, you know. Like Corey said, we rode bikes here and there behind the Harley shop. It was really just kind of for fun. I remember as a kid, we'd go to a motocross track every couple months, and I'd spend all day the day before just trying to find my gear. And now packing my gear bag, like, I don't even think about it. So it's kind of funny how it came full circle. Corey started racing in 2003, and we played a lot of catch up over the years just because of starting so late. These kids got such a jump start. Like Brandon Robinson, you know, he's been riding since he was 4 years old at the local tracks, and all of a sudden we're racing against him and the whole field of other District 6 guys who have gone on to be successful in the American Flat Track Series. And for me, I'll never forget him making his first main event in the twins class at Indy Mile. And it was like, holy cow, like he did it. We can do this. And to go out there and line up for your first main event against guys like Kenny Coolbeth, Chris Carr, Jarrett Meese, just to name a few, it gives you goosebumps. To see him go out and compete with them is awesome. And to go on to win the production championship and get the number one plate was really cool and special for our family. And, you know, it was super cool. A couple years ago, we both won Texas the same day. So that was really special for him to win the production twins class and me to win the AFT singles class. He's kind of had to, I would say, work a lot harder. He's always been the one that over the years, as we were growing up, racing, grinding it out in the gym and really trying to perfect his skill, where for me, I'd rather go work on motorcycles all day and get dirty and greasy on them than spend a day in the gym. So for me, I think it's super cool how different our paths have gone, but we're still both competitive and winning races in our sport. So it's definitely cool.
Corey and Shayna had many role models as amateur racers, some of whom became mentors as they climbed the ranks in professional competition.
Growing up, I always liked Scott Parker, Ricky Graham, Chris Carr. I was a kid through the Camel Pro days. Like, my dad raced the Camel Pro Series, and he had a national number for 16 years. I mean, he had a national number 65 for 8 years, and he had national number 25 for 8 years. So a lot of people don't realize it, but my dad was competitive for a long time. And between that, he was a road racing champion and things like that. But for me growing up, I think 1993, I was 6 years old when Ricky Graham dominated and won 12 races. And I was always a big Ricky Graham fan. Scott Parker, those guys were my heroes. Rusty Rogers, Kevin Varnes, those were the guys I looked up to growing up. And then as I got older, you know, I started racing more. Kenny Coolbeth was a guy who took me under his wing. I got to train with Kenny Coolbeth up in Connecticut. And all the other pros, they kind of just weren't as cool as Kenny, man. Kenny Coolbeth was just always so humble. The guy was a three-time champion, and he just was so respectful of me as a young pro. He never talked down on me, never told me I couldn't do it, and just gave me a lot of respect as a 17-year-old rookie pro. And I really look up to Kenny as I transitioned into the professional ranks. He was always kind of the guy I always looked up to. And then Chris Carr, I developed a really good relationship with Chris Carr. When I won my championship 2 years ago, Chris was my rider coach. And Chris is a guy I talk to once a week at least, whether it be about life or racing or what I can do better. He watches film of me racing and helps me out quite a bit. So, I mean, I guess the answer for that is every one of them were kind of my heroes. But I had my favorites for sure.
For me, my hero in the sport at, you know, at a young age, I honestly didn't really completely understand the sport growing up. I enjoyed going to the races, but I never really kind of captured really what was going on. So for me, I was always such a big fan of our dad ran a race team through the Harley shop. So guys like Mike Hacker, Brian Bigelow, those types of guys, Jarrett Meese even at the time, and Nicole Chezza, like for me, that was so cool because they ran my dad's Harley shop logo and come visit us in the winter time, hang out with us. So I was able to have, you know, a personal relationship with them. And then, you know, later, once I kind of shifted gears and got involved racing myself and really started paying more attention to the sport, like Corey said, Kenny Coolbeth, I was a huge fan of his. I thought it was awesome how you can go out and win a championship, but still be a down-to-earth, humble guy. And I've always kind of admired him and used him as a role model throughout, you know, my career as a professional even. And I also always liked Jake Johnson because I could relate to him in a sense. I never was the type of kid that enjoyed working out, going to the gym. Corey will tell you, I just kind of had some natural ability on a motorcycle. So for me, it was like I related really a lot to him as a person. And now later in life, it's funny because his wife says him and I are like twins. So it's pretty funny to kind of see where life has shifted. But for me, those are two great guys, two champions of the sport that have showed what it takes to win races and be a great person off the motorcycle, more importantly.
Corey and Shayna's father, Randy Texter, was the 1990 Twin Sports champion. In 2010, he died after an extended illness. He was only 48 years old. That same year, Randy was posthumously named AMA Racing Sportsman of the Year. His positive influence on his children's lives was immense and long-lasting.
Yeah, my dad was a great guy, man. I mean, he was just always willing to help people out, always willing to give. He was a really hard worker. He was the first one into work, last one to leave. You know, he owned and managed the Harley shop that we grew up in. So he was always working. He still found time to get us to the racetrack, work on bikes, things like that. As far as like our racing careers, though, when we got started, he was really mellow. I mean, he never pushed us. He wasn't a peewee dad, like getting mad if we lost. He just let us do our thing. It was kind of annoying in a way. Like if I would win or get 10th, he kind of showed the same emotion, which it was good. It kept us level headed and let us just kind of have fun with it. He didn't push us too hard. He just wanted us to be good people, have good character. So we kind of figured things out on our own. When I'd get into trouble at the racetrack, if I'd run into somebody or make somebody angry, they'd come back to our pit and start yelling at my dad. And he'd look over and he would look at me and he'd be like, he's over there. You can go yell at him. So he let us fend for ourselves quite a bit. And I remember going to the track. I think it was like my third year racing. I turned local level expert and he always paid for our entries up to that point. And I went over to him to get money for sign up. He's like, you're an expert rider now. You pay for your own entries. I didn't bring any money. Like, I didn't even have any money to race that day. So I had to go borrow money from Kevin Varnes to go sign up. I had to take my winnings after I signed up and pay Kevin back. But people think we had it easy and things like that. But he really made us work for it. He made us learn the sponsorship. I handled all the sponsorship stuff. And then when he passed away, for me, it was surreal. It went from days to months to years before it even really settled in. It was just kind of a blur. And I think it was mainly because we just stayed busy. We kept grinding. If we would have sat back and felt sorry for ourselves, we wouldn't be where we are at now. I mean, it's crazy to think how close we were to just not racing ever again. We lost everything. We lost all the sponsorship support we had through the Harley shop. Everything went away. And we were really, really close to never racing again. Just to think of everything we accomplished after he passed away is just crazy to me to think that might have never happened if we didn't grit down and just keep digging. I never really shared some of that information there. And it was, it was quite the journey. You know, it was for me and Shay. We definitely came together closer after that whole deal. And yeah, it brought us closer together for sure.
Just to echo, basically, when my dad was alive, we had every tool, every part, everything that we needed to be successful. He definitely laid everything out and gave us the tools to be successful on the track. But, you know, end of the day, it was up to us to go out and perform and get the result. When he passed away, it was like, holy cow, all we have is literally our motorcycles. And that was it. We didn't even have a way to get our bikes to the track or anybody to help us work on them. It was just Corey and I kind of grinding it out in the garage and just kind of figuring out what we needed to do every weekend just to get there. So honestly, I've said it before, when I won my very first national in Knoxville, there was nobody there. My grandfather was there, but he rode with somebody else just so I had somebody there in case I got hurt. But all he knew how to do was put gas in the motorcycle. So we were basically on our own and just had the two of us stick together and grind it out. And as we started turning results into wins, it helped. Obviously, I was able to get a second motorcycle from a sponsor, and I was able to get us a van sponsored to us. And the pieces kind of start falling into place after we start performing. But that wasn't for probably 2 years after he passed away. So we had to sacrifice at times, like, man, are we going to eat or are we going to skip dinner to buy a tire for the next race? And I was always bumming cash off of Corey here and there because I didn't have a job and I was barely making it by. So for us, it was a lot of hard work. And it, like Corey said, it was 10 years ago in August that my dad passed away. And in one breath, it feels like yesterday. But in another, the journey that we've been on and the things we've accomplished in between are huge. And a lot of it goes back to him really just teaching us not to quit and not to give up. He was battling heart failure and some other illnesses. He had cancer when he was 16 years old. And man, the guy would take his work to the hospital bed when he needed it. And to me, that was just incredible. Such a role model that Corey and I can still look at today and use it for inspiration.
And I want to just say that a lot of people still remember us when we were young and kind of spoiled kids. We had the big rig, we had 8 motorcycles, and then they look at us now. You know, Shane is a factory KTM Red Bull rider. I ride with support from Yamaha. I'm on a really good team, G&G Racing. But they sort of forget the 2010 to 2012 years where we didn't have anything. I barely even raced. Like, I didn't even have a bike. I didn't race hardly. Shayna, she had one bike, traveling to the races. Like she said, man, it's emotional. Like, we didn't have money to barely even get food. Like, our neighbors were, like, bringing food over for us. I know it's crazy to think about. It wasn't, like, you know, it wasn't that bad. We still had some help and things, but it wasn't an easy road. People just think that we blinked and we're where we are now. But, I mean, it wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy journey. And where we're at now, it was a lot of hard work, and people root for the underdog now, and we were the underdog. We just worked hard and got to where we are now because we were determined that that's what we were doing. And I think any young rider coming up, if you want it bad enough, you'll do anything it takes to be successful. There's really no excuse. People are, oh, I have to work, I have to go to school. It's like, you don't have to do anything. If you want to be successful in whatever you want to do, you'll make the sacrifices needed to get there. Shayna was homeschooled in high school. We didn't go to proms. We didn't hang out with our friends on the weekends. We went racing, and we made a lot of sacrifices to get where we are. And I'm super proud of everything we've accomplished because I know it's because of hard work and just grit. So I'm super proud of that.
And I think it's also helped kind of shape us into the people we are today, the whole journey, you know, and we're both very fortunate to be in the position that we are. And we're always taught to never forget where we came from. And I think we try to give back to the sport. Corey runs a CTR Elite Amateur program and helps kids go to amateur nationals. And myself, I help out a couple kids, make sure that they have good helmets, good protection gear. I've given little girls some entry money throughout the year. And it's fun for us now to be in this position to be able to give back to the sport that at a time we needed them to give to us to continue on.
As Corey and Shayna look back on their racing careers, they remember the people who helped them along the way, especially each other.
My mom had our back, my grandpa Fitzcharles, and my mom, Fitzcharles, and we have family members that had our backs, but they weren't really in the motorcycle racing scene, so they can only do so much for us. And to be honest, my dad's side of the family, they were trying to get us to quit racing. And I'm glad we battled through it and we kept digging because of where we're at now. But yeah, it was just tough, man. It was a really hard time. I look back on it now, and I'm grateful that it was so challenging because I'm able to be appreciative of where I'm at now. And every time I race, the good days, I appreciate them. The hard days, I probably appreciate them more. I'm just super thankful. I soak in every moment because there was a stretch of years where I didn't know if I'd ever race again. I mean, I almost retired in 2011. That was 10 years ago. And it's just crazy to think about. I'm still doing it. I'm where I'm at. I had a really roller coaster career where things weren't looking good. They weren't looking good. And then I just kept digging. And where I'm at now, to be able to make a career in racing, it's super gratifying for me.
I remember at times actually like sitting down with some of my family and they're like, why don't you just give it up? Why don't you just go back to school, go to college, do something else? And it's like, you're asking me to give up on my dream? You're crazy. So now to kind of look back on it, I kind of chuckle now at it because I've made it. And some of them family members try to claim that they're my number one fans. So it definitely makes me kind of chuckle now to see where we're at and the journey that we've accomplished along the way. And for me, I'm so happy for the career that I've had. And yes, I want to win races, but I also want to enjoy it and have fun. And that's why we started riding motorcycles from the get-go. You got to enjoy it. You got to have fun. And it's definitely cool to be a part of the next generation of flat trackers coming through and making history. Honestly, it's awesome to have your brother at the racetrack and know no matter what, you can trust him 100%. He's not going to steer you wrong. And it's a special bond that we have because we're able to kind of keep each other up to date what's happening on the track and off with sponsorship, with the racing side of the business. There's no other brother-sister racing combination out there. So to have that relationship and be able to support one another on a competitive level, thank God we don't race against each other anymore, because that that was a whole nother story. But to be able to support each other in both in our classes, and my mom, my sister, my brother, they come out to the track and watch us. It's really cool. And for me, it's a bond that I don't think you'll find anywhere else.
I try not to overstep my boundaries. She's a factory KTM rider, so I'm like always thinking like, man, if she did this, I think it would probably help her. But she's got a great team, and I don't like to just go over there and say, hey, do this or do that. But I offer advice here and there when I can. I've gotten really good at setting up the motorcycle on my bikes that I'm riding and trying different things that I think work. And I usually race before her. My main event is typically the first main event, and she's the second main. So there's a lot of times after the podium, I'll run over to her when she's getting introduced during opening ceremonies or whatever, and I'll float her a tip here or there. Hey, watch the rod on the inside of turn one or something like that. And it's kind of funny, people that wouldn't know we're brother and sister, seeing a guy in Yamaha leathers telling a girl in KTM leathers what's going on with the track. But I got her kind of helping me out when I need it, and I help her out as well. And at the end of the day, I'm her biggest fan. So anytime I do well and then she does well, it's a bonus. And Shane is married now. She's got a husband, Briar, and he's like a brother. So there's one of us in all three classes. So whenever we're out there and we're succeeding, it's just a bonus when they do well in addition to myself. And it's not fully fulfilled. Like when I have a good day and they have bad days, it's just not as fulfilled as when we all have good days. And that's what's special about having family members at race.
After the 2020 season, I got married to Briar Bauman, who's the current Super Twins champ, went back to back. So it was really cool. You know, it's special to have Corey to be able to depend on, but also we're able to go and communicate with the best in the world with Briar. So it's definitely a special bond that the three of us have, and to be able to communicate knowledge back and forth that maybe the next competitor's not getting is kind of cool.
What's it like to be a female in a traditionally male-dominated sport? Shayna and Corey recall the challenges she overcame as a racer and as a woman.
Being a female in a male-dominated sport, I mean, it definitely had its challenges. You know, back in 2010 when my dad passed away, it was rough. I was getting beat up on the racetrack, my handlebar getting taken from me, and just kind of beat up and not really enjoying it, to the part where right before I actually kind of won that first race in Knoxville, Iowa in September of 2011, I was ready to quit. Like, I'm like, I'm over this. Like, these boys are just beating me up. And you know, just finally just dug deep. And I was like, you know what, if they can do it, I can do it. And just kind of just started giving it back to them. And, you know, it wasn't the entire field. Some of these kids I grew up from 2004 amateur nationals on through, racing with them and banging bars. So a lot of the top guys respected me. It was the middle of the pack riders that were just beating me up. I say to this day, I want to be known as a motorcycle racer and a female second. So when my helmet goes on, I'm a motorcycle racer. That's it. So if you're going to hit me, I'm going to hit you back, and vice versa. I don't want you to treat me differently on the racetrack. I've dreamed of winning that first race, and I dug deep and I was able to do it. And I think today it's awesome to see the growth of women in motorcycling, and I'm not alone. Down here in Florida, I've been going to the local motocross track just for a bunch of cross training, and I'm absolutely terrible at it. So it's funny that there's some fans there that want to get a photo with me, and I'm like, just don't take a photo of me on the racetrack because I'm terrible. But it's awesome at the same time because females are accepted at the racetrack now, and you see more and more every weekend and more getting involved. So for me to go out on the racetrack, and if I inspire one female at the end of the day to go out there and ride and try, that's, you know, an accomplishment in itself. Go out there, tear it up, and don't quit, and bang them right back.
Shayna, where she was at as a female, and back then, like, there wasn't a female who was winning races. Like, Nicole Chezza was successful, but nobody actually won a race. And at the pro sport level, Shayna was winning races. And I seen her talent level, and I was like, man, I know she can win one of these races. So if we could just get one win off the ground, I think it'll really help with sponsorship. And I remember when she won, I was calling newspapers. I was calling TV stations. I really pushed the marketing hard for Shayna. She won, and like a week later, I was getting merchandise. We were trying to push it as hard as we could to get support so we could keep racing. But I think Shayna, when she was growing up, it was never her goal to be the fastest female. She never used being a female as an excuse or anything like that. She just wanted to win races. She didn't care who lined up. She never really used that as kind of an excuse for when she didn't do well. Oh, I'm a girl. It's tough to race the guys. She just went out there and just treated herself like she belonged. And that's where she got the respect from the other riders, too, I feel like. She just wanted to win and be competitive. So I think that's the biggest thing, too, is having the confidence to know you belong out there and just, yeah, not letting anything hold you back. Just going out there and believing in yourself and having that confidence, I think, is important as well.
I want to become the first female to win a championship in our sport. It's never been done before. And for me, the biggest challenge on the racetrack is these tracks called TTs, which have a right-hander and a jump on them. For me, I grew up, I thought flat tracking was just going in circles. I didn't know I was going to have to jump a motorcycle and turn right and put a front brake on the thing. So that's been my weakness. It's held me back. I think I would have already had the championship in my hand. So for me, it's just continuing to try and improve as a motorcycle racer and be the best that I can. Moving forward, I really honestly, now that I'm married, I'm going to be 30 years old, March 12th, our season opener at Evolution. And, you know, I eventually want to be able to have kids and get them involved in the sport. So for me right now, it's just enjoying the sport, chasing championships, and enjoying the ride.
Now that Corey and Shayna have achieved success and recognition in one of the most competitive motorsports in the world, what are their goals in racing and in their lives?
I'm 33 now, so I'm not a spring chicken, but I train really hard. I like the challenge of racing these young kids. I run the Production Twins class, which is a good mix of good veteran riders and top young kids. And I like racing these really fast kids that either win 450 championships or things like that. And I'm racing some of the fastest 18-year-olds in the country. And I feel like I'm getting better every year. I like the challenge of going out there. I won the championship 2 years ago. And then this past season, I finished runner-up. And I'm just determined to go out there and win more races. And I have a little boy. I have a son named Cruz. He's 3.5 years old. And I have a lot going on. I promote races. I have my own podcast. I have an amateur team that I promote. And on top of all that and growing the sport, I'm still able to be out there and contend for championships against some of the best riders there are. And I love that challenge. I love getting beat. Like I love to win, but the challenge of getting beat, like last year, James Rispoli, a rider that lives in Florida now and rides a Harley, he was taking it to me and he won like 5 races in a row. And the grind that it took for me to overcome that and find a way to beat him and beat his team. You know, I think I won 3 of the last 4 races. So I love the challenge of just being successful still where I'm at in my career. I've never been a guy who had a bunch of raw talent. I always had to get up early, do my training, watch film, take notes. I'm like really crafty with my racing now. I spent a lot of time working on my craft, and I love that challenge of doing that right now. It gets harder every year, and I welcome that. I really enjoy it.
For me, approaching the racetrack, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I pull up with Briar, and it's like, okay, we're both off to work. Typically, husband and wife, they both go off to work, and they don't see each other all day. And it's kind of honestly how our day goes for the most part. You know, we both have a job to do. We both want to win. And obviously, Briar's been in the championship hunt the last 2 years, so that's added a lot of stress to my program and his program. And obviously also planning a wedding last year added even more stress as we're trying to race. And it's quite unique. We try to make sure we still stay in touch throughout the day, let each other know how the track's developing, things we might pick up watching on the streaming and stuff like that of each other. And we also try to make sure we always eat together, lunch and possibly dinner if we get time, just to kind of get that little bit of time together. But when we're at the track, it's 100%. We have a job to do and we're going to support each other, but we're also there to work.
My wife, Amber's incredible. I'm a pretty polarizing guy, to be honest. I'm very intense. I'm very serious on race day. And she does a really good job when she's at the track. And my son, Cruz, is there. And they keep it lighthearted. You know, Cruz doesn't care if I win or lose. He just loves his daddy. So, yeah, I mean, it's not really any different. I've been with my wife since 2006. We started dating. We've been together a long time. So yeah, there's nothing different really for me as far as that goes, but having her there is important and having my family there. And I'm actually, I would say like the more I'm having fun on race day and the more relaxed I am, the better I do. Toward the end of the year there, I started having a beer the night before the races. And I had a beer before one of the races, and then the next day I won. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to keep having a beer the night before the race, just one beer at dinner, and just kind of keep it fun and relaxed. And for me, it's cool. Like, I want to win. I put a lot toward my craft, but at the end of the day, like, there's more to life than winning races. I have a great family and I like watching sports. I like Harry Potter. I'm just a normal guy. I'm kind of a nerd, and my wife does a really good job at balancing life and racing. I'm pretty business savvy. I like the business side of pretty much anything. Like, I like to know about contracts with professional athletes, and I like to know business models and business plans. I'd probably be doing something business related, entrepreneur. And that's kind of what my career will probably be like when I'm done racing. I want to open up businesses. I want to promote the sport. I want to promote races. There's a lot I want to do from the business side of things. So I'd probably be doing something business related.
Honestly, I have no regrets in the path that I chose. At one point, like I said, when I was younger, I wanted to be a soccer player. I'm still a fan of the sport today, but I'm in a really good spot with being a motorcycle racer. And, you know, when my career is done as a racer, I'd like to continue on either running a team, helping give back, help show kids things that we kind of learned along the way, help teach them so they're not faced with some of the similar challenges that we were faced with over the years of kind of learning it the hard way.
As brother and sister, Corey and Shayna know each other's strengths and weaknesses like few other racers. It's time for some serious bench racing.
If there was one racetrack that, if it was me and you racing for $1 million, the winner got $1 million. If there was one racetrack you could pick that you didn't want to race me at for $1 million.
That I didn't, like, that or I did?
That you didn't. Like, you were the least confident. You thought I would, you know, that's my track. I don't want to race him there for $1 million. And then maybe one that you know you could beat me, like you could win it. What would be your least pick, and what would be the one you would pick?
The one that I would honestly, I think, pick, I think it would be awesome to go at it at Lima. For me, I think Lima, it's a rider racetrack. It's a deep cushion, kind of sandy for those that don't know. So it's not a follow the leader type of racetrack. It's just pure speed, grit, adrenaline, who wants to stay on the gas harder. And I think it would be a fair race because we'd have multiple lines. The track that I wouldn't want to race you at is Trailways, the local track back home in Hanover, Pennsylvania, that we grew up racing as District 6 riders. And that track and I just don't get along. And for some reason, Corey loves racing that track. Anytime there's those big money up for grabs, he's like, it's mine. I'm going to it. So for me, definitely not Trailways.
Lima would be cool. That'd be good.
Yeah, you'd probably take me out, though, if I was ahead.
I'd get a better start than you probably, but yeah.
Here's a funny Corey story. Corey wasn't racing for a little while after Dad passed away, and, you know, I was doing pretty well, and he was decided to be my mechanic for a couple weekends. And anybody that knows Corey, he's not the mechanic of the family. He's the one that always calls Shayna or calls Pop to come help him fix anything and everything, from Cruises PW50 to, I mean, the guy just learned to mow the yard like 6 months ago. So Corey's going to be my mechanic for the National, and we're racing out in California at Stockton, and he picks up the RAS. So we use a RAS to take the kind of the glaze, the edge off the tire. It kind of works like a file a little bit. And Corey's going to RAS my tire for me, get ready. We're racing a short track oval. All of a sudden, one of Brower's buddies walks up to him. He's like, Corey, what are you doing? He's like, I'm rasping her tire. I'm getting it ready. He's like, Corey, we're racing a short track today. You're rasping the right side of the tire. And we're only using the left side of the tire. And Corey's like, you know, he's like pouring that brotherly love into my tire because I have a shot to win this race. I actually went on to podium. I think I got second or third in the race. But he spent like an hour resting the right side of my tire. And it looked phenomenal if we were racing a TT.
It's actually terrifying how she won probably 3 to 5 races. I don't remember how many, but She won quite a few races with just me as her mechanic. How did that even happen? The same day at Stockton, her I think it was your mag cover, it was like leaking oil. It had like a crack in it. I replaced an entire mag, the mag and whatever, like the whole bit. Like there's like 20 bolts in there and I fixed it. I don't know what I'm doing. I had no clue. I just took it apart, put the new one in. And I was just praying it would stay together. And yeah, I think she went on to get second that day, but we won Indy Mile. We won like a Knoxville 1 year. I was her mechanic. I don't know how. That's just a testament to how fast Shayna is sometimes, because I am literally the worst mechanic ever. Shayna can pull, she can pull apart a bike, an entire engine out of a bike in like an hour. I mean, she's super good at it. And that's one thing I have no shame in. I am a very bad mechanic. I hate it. I hate doing anything mechanical. So Shane is my go-to when I'm like, yeah, I got to call my little sister. She needs to help me take this motor out of my bike. And everyone's like, what? So
he calls me because his little boy Cruz's PW's carb's clogged. I'm like, Corey, you can go on YouTube and there's 12-year-olds doing it. Like, nah, I can't do it. So that's just a little glimpse into Corey's mechanical side. And
it's pretty horrendous, pretty to be honest. Yeah.
Thanks to Corey Texter and Shayna Texter-Bauman, two fixtures on the American flat track scene. To learn more about professional flat track racing, visit AmericanFlatTrack.com and visit AmericanMotorcyclist.com to learn about amateur flat track racing. On the Line with the AMA is a production of the American Motorcyclists Association. Since 1924, the AMA has been promoting the motorcycle lifestyle and protecting the future of motorcycling. Learn more at AmericanMotorcyclist.com.